Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see things from a very different perspective. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com. And remember, I spell Kevin like the number 7. Be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Weekly Wisdom. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now, on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and welcome to another edition. Today, we begin a series. The series is called The Descent. In terms of falling, going downhill, letting things go. It's going to be a multi-week series. I'm not sure how many weeks I'm going to go on this, but today is going to be the intro and the starter for it, and it's part one. So for those of you who know, this podcast has been going on since about maybe April of this year, but the newsletter and blog, the blog that I have has been going on for well over 3 years now, and my newsletter, which is now called Winder's Windshield, has been going on for 10 years in various forms. And one of my life's greatest passions is to help people go deeper into their lives. And for the longest time as a church leader, I was always trying to get people out of their lives and into another life. That was the modus operandi of church life, of work. It was the assumption that everybody had a sinful, bad, horrible life. And they needed a good, healthy, religious life. I was wrong to do that. And I found a better way when I finally decided that I didn't really want the life that an institution, a religious institution, or somebody else was offering me. Instead, I wanted my own life enough to actually get into it. And I remember when I was a part of the last church, that was a significant portion of what we taught our people, was that we weren't there to hijack their life. We were actually there to equip them to go back into their own life and to live it. And that was one of the best things that that particular church ever did. But some people ask me why I spend so much time working to produce all this content that I do. I mean, after all, it's not like I'm wealthy from it. I mean, as a business model, it certainly has potential, I suppose, but it's kind of laughable. I mean, I love sharing this content and this aspect of life with others, and I'm always amazed at how transformative and a contemplative life can actually be. But my wife and I had a great laugh the other day because I'm saying, you know, if this were a business model, and if trying to get people to mine the depths of their life was a business, I would never make it on the show Shark Tank. Nobody would invest in this. And this is because doing this, you know, doing this podcast, doing these blogs every week, producing this stuff when you've got a family, when you have a full-time job and tons of responsibility, this stuff is really hard. It's really difficult to get anybody, let alone busy people, who we all are, to look closer at things, to pause longer, or to go deeper. I mean, we all live kind of anesthetized or numb or distracted or blind. Now, this isn't because people are shallow or stupid. It's just that none of us can see what we can't see. I know that sounds obvious. We have blind spots. The reality is that we are oblivious, which incidentally is the title of my upcoming book. I hope you'll be looking for that, shameless plug as it is. But when it comes to aspects of our life that are defined in spiritual terms, or where we experience sacred space or introspective deep thoughts, most of us are pretty good with our present status. In other words, we've all gone to a certain depth, and going deeper is usually costly, time-consuming, or uninteresting to us. So we usually just stop at a comfortable place and just leave the touchy-feely soft measures alone. I mean, after all, we have enough distractions in life that keep us ridiculously busy. Now, every now and then, something really disruptive and beautiful happens to us. We get the desire to go deeper. Usually this is brought about by proximity to ultimate reality, such as attending a funeral. You ever done that? All of a sudden, things seem less important, don't they? You know, when we visit the funeral of the guy who died in our company, it's always, wow, the kind of work we're doing seems less important today, doesn't it? Or in light of getting a dreaded diagnosis. I'm sorry, sir, it is cancer. All of a sudden, that boat or that trip seems kind of less important, doesn't it? You know, we always find these entry points into proximity, and they are usually through some form of suffering. Now, those kinds of events I told you were disruptive and beautiful. And that they are beautiful because they disrupt the status quo. And if only for a brief time, we're able to gain some clarity on all of our priorities. You know, you get out into the wilderness for a while and everything seems a little different when it's quiet without the phone ringing and the emails going and the boss harping on you. See, all of the proximity and the illumination that comes with it allows us to begin to think differently. This is important because what we're doing is going deeper. We contemplate. We start to ask real questions. We bask in wonder. We pause long enough to feel the inward gravitational pull, and it's in there. However, unless we become intentional about this proximity, the clarity of this moment will pass until someone else dies or gets sick. And if we're honest with ourselves, proximity really scares us, doesn't it? But it shouldn't. I'm always saying that when we go deeper into something, that something begins to become immensely more interesting. Furthermore, the process of going deeper is always a spiritual process. Yes, it's very spiritual. It is very spiritual, and I'm not kidding here, to go deeper into things like finance, or Legos, food trucks, or binary code. Those are things that most people wouldn't use the term spiritual for, but it is spiritual. Because as you mine the depths of something, you start to uncover the nuances that are invisible when skimming the surface. You see, the nuances are those aspects that bring about changes in our humanity because they change our perspective on things. Now, whether we are into golf or the Bible or business, our journey deeper enables us to learn that the discovery was never really about the subject at hand. It started that way, but it ended up somewhere else. It always does. Instead, the journey isn't about the subject. It's about us and our maker, our juxtaposition in the world, our purpose, where meaning comes from. In other words, we started to build a business, learn a sport, or play an instrument. But in the end, those things built us. They are all tools for self-creation. Now, once you reach this level at something, it is impossible to go back. I mean, literally everything in the world is a springboard that can, is a springboard that can produce this kind of self-awareness and personal growth. Now, that can be a hard pill to swallow for those who have a very particular expression of spiritual growth. But bear with me on this. Just hang tight for a little while. See if this series doesn't change your mind about what I'm saying. If you wouldn't use such words to describe your pastimes, like if you wouldn't say, when I went fishing, that was a very spiritual time. Or when I got off my bike, I had clarity of mind. If you didn't see these activities, these endeavors as spiritual pastimes, then perhaps you were unaware of what lies beneath them. And this is where my passion just comes out, because I want to live for no other purpose than to help scratch the surface, pull back that thing in your life, and show you what is there. Nothing is more beautiful. Nothing has more meaning. Nothing has more permanence. Nothing will make you more you than what's in there. And I long and live to show that to people. And this brings me to my last introductory point on this series. You see, once we gain proximity to that which is beyond and within us, we never want to live without it. In fact, everything else in the world seems to pale in comparison. Now, there's an ancient song that rings true here when it says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." And for those who know the Bible, you know that comes out of the Psalms, chapter 84, verse 10. And the Psalms are songs. And the artist here is saying something here. He's saying that once you get something, once you get to the depth of all of life, of when you gain proximity, you don't ever want to be without it. Now, this is an interesting portal into our depressions and into our life's deepest sorrows. We think that our sorrows are inflicted on us and that we're victims of them, and I'm not diminishing the fact that bad things happen to people. But what real sorrow is the skimming over of the depths that are in your life. You see, the surface doesn't possess what we really want, though it abounds with what we think we want. In order to possess all the things that we think we want, we must ascend. We have to go up. That means we have to cling and claw and employ an inordinate amount of effort, and then be able to sustain that effort over time if we would ever take hold of surface things. But all the skill of the ascent is worthless at delivering what we really want. For that, we must descend. What we all truly desire is found on another tier. It's another strata or another dimension of life. And contrary to popular religious teaching, the spiritual path is always a descent, not an ascent. Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to examine this descent much closer. And hopefully, I will inspire you to let go. I hope you get to experience free fall. The only thing you have to lose is sorrow. The only thing you will gain is your true self. Thanks so much for tuning in to the KevCast. It really means a lot that you give your time and energy to this. It's my goal that this content is challenging sometimes, but mostly helpful, inspiring, and encouraging to you. It's my goal that in the end, you become a much better person. And guess what? I'll become a better person if I hear from you. I welcome your feedback, good or bad. I'd love to start a dialogue with you. If I can answer any questions, please reach out to me at my website, www.kevinwinder.com. Now, remember, I'm a member of the Experts Academy, and I help people who want to understand spirituality to make sense of their religious experience so that they can clearly see God in the world. Until next time, have a great day.